So pastor has done so many series. As I was even reviewing it, I saw part 9 on this word of grace. So a lot has been done. So my job here today is just like a tutorial teacher. You know, when you do the main lecturer has given you the writing in the class, the tutorial, your tutorial teacher, you know what I'm saying, yeah? It's just to just do a little part of it. So as we round up this grace, I begin to ponder on it, great grace. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, if something is great, that means there is an opposite. Just like when Jesus was a little faith, you of little faith, great faith. So today we want to see growing in grace. That means that grace that God has given unto us, it can move, it can change. So our topic this morning, our deliberation this morning is growing in grace. Peter, who is the custodian of the church, or whom one of the boldest disciples of Christ, who the church was handed over to, clearly mentioned this in 2 Peter chapter 1, when he made it, said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. And verse 3 of it says, so as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So he saying that grace and peace be multiplied, that means there is a growth potential in our grace. The same thing when he was rounding up 2 Peter's, he mentioned that again. 2 Peter 3:18. He said, but grow in the grace and knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. To him by the glory, both now and forever. So once Paul says grow, develop it, then there is a potential for it to grow. So another instance, Apostle Paul himself in Ephesians 2, if we look from verse 8 to 10, Ephesians chapter 2, he said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Grace is a gift of God. Any gift that we don't use, it's going to go to waste. It is a gift of God. So it is our responsibility to grow this gift. So as he said that God's grace is not given to us because of our good works. Pastor has underlined that for us. God's grace is not given to us because of our good works, but it is to enable us to do the good works that God had in mind for us. That is what Ephesians 2 verse 10, if we jump to 10, please. That's what is just underlining for us, that for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So that good works, we can only accomplish it by grace. By grace. It is by grace of God that we are able to accomplish the good works God has created us for. Say, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So do something about the gift of grace. That again, in 2 Corinthians 8:7, because we need to go, what we want to focus on is how do we grow this grace. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, it says, for as you abound in everything, as you abound, that means as you grow in everything, that means in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love for us, see to it that you abound in this grace also. Whatever grace, because grace is in many things, that any grace that you are, make sure you abound in grace. That is laying credence to the fact that we need to grow in grace. So this is something that, to do something about the gift. Growing in grace is necessary for us if we want to become like Jesus, which is our goal anyway, to be Christ-like, to be Jesus-like, so that we can make impact in this world. So we need to grow in grace. So the first way, how do I grow in this grace? I haven't understood the need to grow in grace. How now? The first way that it's available for me to grow in grace, it's as even said by Peter himself. We're back to 2 Peter now. From one, he underlined how to grow in grace in that opening greetings. He said, 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So knowledge of God is a multiplier of our grace. So the more of God we know, the more of his grace we will. The only thing that multiplies grace to us is the more of him we know. And this knowledge, another scripture, is not just knowledge. There is what we call true knowledge. That is what Daniel was trying to emphasize in Daniel 11:32. When he said, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt flattery. But the B part, but the people who know their God, please, their God, there is a personal knowledge of God. Not just knowing God, everyone knows God. But he is saying here that those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Exploits, it's all by grace. But the key there is knowing God for yourself. Knowing, having a personal relationship with God. Study the word. It's not knowing God. He used the word, those who know their God. So it's all about look into the word. Build relationship. Study the word. Prayerfully meditate on it. Remember always, as Pastor has been teaching us, man shall not live by bread alone. So all this word of God is so important to us. And again, as I was studying, in the study of this word, we must come to a knowledge, we must come to call good understanding. It's not just understanding. Proverbs 13:15 says to us, good understanding. Good understanding gains favor. Not just understanding. Because when you say that favor, I want to replace it by grace. Because some of us understood grace, we define grace as unmerited favor. So I can say good understanding gains grace. That means once you study the word of God and come to a good understanding of it, this will increase our grace. Good understanding. When you come to good understanding of the word, you begin to apply it. You begin to obey it. You validate your experience with the scripture. If it doesn't line up with the scripture, you discard it. That is when you come to what we call good understanding. Good understanding of our word gains favor. So this is the first multiplier of our grace. In any area, he wants us to take the word, study it, pray over it, come to good understanding of it. Therefore, our grace is increased. We grow in grace. Because the word is so important, John 8:32, he said, in John 8:32, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is part of when you say true knowledge. The true knowledge of God is the truth. It is what will make us free. It is not the generic knowledge of God we are talking about here. So this is to multiply in grace, all we need to desire, all we need to seek is, Lord, personal knowledge of you. Those who know their God, they will do exploits. Exploits is only possible by grace. Jesus, all the way, was doing exploits everywhere he goes. So that is what we want to do. And it is only by his grace. Because in John 1:14-16, said, of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. That means it is not, because we have all been saved by grace. So when you now come to know more of him, then you are taking that level 1 grace to another level. That is why he said, of his fullness we have all received, grace for grace. Another translation rendered it as grace upon grace. That means not at the level that we have all been given. By his grace, we have all been saved. So that is why we cannot afford our grace level to be at the start. We have all been engraced. It's a gift. Nobody prayed for it. Nobody. It's a gift upon us. So it is our responsibility to now what? Grow it. Say, of his fullness. That is, they are talking about, in verse 14, he's talking about the fullness of Christ that we have all received. So we are meant to take it. So the word of God is so good. Let it come, as we study this knowledge, let us come to the conviction which Jeremiah had. In Jeremiah 15, 16, look at how Jeremiah described his conviction about the word. He said, your words were found. And what? I hate them. And your words was to me joy and rejoicing. For I am called by your name, O Lord. Find the word. Jeremiah said, I hate the word. That means he kept it in his heart. So that is how we are saying the personal knowledge of God. This is what multiplies our grace. This is what takes our grace to the next level. So the next way to grow in grace is when we have the passion for the will of God. This was the passion David was describing in the worship we just said. He said, as the deer pants for waters, so my soul. Because David, in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, that was what we have just, the song we have just sang there, as the deer pants. And look at what happened. David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Then verse 2, he said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is somebody that desires the presence of God. And this is someone that knows that it's all about God. So when you have this kind of passion, our grace will grow. Because even God himself had to testify about David. Acts 13, 32. God testifying about David. How did God testify? It's when he had removed him, referring to Saul earlier on. He raised up for them David as king, for whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. A man after my, who will do all my will. This is God testifying about. Why, if you look at the life of David, so many things. One of the is even what we read this morning, Psalm 34. Part of what David said, I will bless the Lord continually. In Psalm 119, verse 164, David was saying, 7 times a day, I praise you because of what? Your righteousness. David, it's the embodiment of grace in the Old Testament. As we are talking about Paul, about grace in the New Testament, David represents what I see as evident of all-round grace. David fought 66 battles. He never lost one. So if you are doing this kind of exploits, it can only be by grace of God. The grace of God. David, God, there was just this uncommon grace. David had the sort of grace, we say all grace. He was a worshiper. He was a king. He was a songwriter. He was a giver. I listed about 8 or 9 things that David had this sort of grace. Why? Because God said, he's a man after my own heart. He will do my will. Passion for the will of God. Imagine a king praying 7 times a day. Which means, I begin to imagine, they're having a meeting. Oh, let me stop. I want to go and pray. That's the sort of lifestyle you can see David. I will bless the Lord continually. So what we're saying is, if we imbibe this, then our grace will continue to grow. Our grace in any areas that we need things. The Bible attempts to be listing all the battles of David. I just have to stop in 1 Chronicles 18 that, okay, he fought a lot of battles. This is where, because when I saw 66 battles and you lost none. But I couldn't finish it. But if you are at home, just go and look 1 Chronicles 18. They were listing all the battles of David. Why? He was doing the will of God. Passion for the will of God. God will give each and everyone that sort of grace to run after God, and it will increase us in grace. In the name of Jesus. Another way to grow in grace, when we promote his kingdom. When we promote his kingdom, we are bound to grow in grace. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. He said, so how do we promote his kingdom? One way to promote his kingdom is in our giving. He said, so let each one give as a purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Look at what happens immediately when you give, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things and may have an abundance for every good work. You will have abundance for every good work. This grace that God is able to make abound towards us starts from giving. So giving is a trigger. Our giving to the kingdom is a trigger for God's making grace abound. That means increasing that level of grace unto us. So first thing is promoting his kingdom. One of the ways, I've just listed three here or two, that our giving makes this grace increase. The other thing that makes grace, how do we grow in grace under promoting his kingdom, is when we are witnessing about him. Acts 4:33. This is the scripture pastor used to the watch night service. Because we have all focused on this. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Look at what happened. When they were witnessing, when they were on the field, when they were evangelizing, Saturday is another moment for us now. Let us come out to evangelize, to draw kingdom, to draw people to the kingdom. And this God, look at what happened. They said, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. And what happened to them? And great grace. So this is one of the platforms for great grace upon our life when we are witnessing. The other time when they were giving. Now when they were witnessing. So in the course of their witnessing, so this is where we call it the scripture for the year, great grace. So it met them, great grace upon us. So at the moment when we come to witness, when we come to win souls, we are the great, because which means the grace level that we have today turns towards great grace. The Lord will empower each and every one for us for this role in Jesus' name. Because that was what he said. He gave them power in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Said so that we can go all over and witness. Saturday, we are on the field again by his grace. And as you partake in that, the grace leveled in each and everyone's life will turn to great grace. Great grace in Jesus' name. How else do we increase in this grace? How else? We've looked at three. Number four, we've seen personal knowledge. true knowledge of God. Not just everybody knows God. Oh, you know, no, I want us to come to the level of personal knowledge. Let us find that word and let us eat them. Number two, we've seen how passionate David was for the will of God. That God had to testify about David. I have found somebody that is what? After my own heart. We've seen that when we promote his kingdom in our giving, in our witnessing, in our kingdom prayers, praying for the kingdom, we should grow out of that level of where our prayer life will always be, Father, give me, give me. No, it's still a baby life, Christian. Please, I mean, my recommendation, 30%, 50%, 70% of our prayer life should be about the kingdom. You know, the disciples came to Jesus, said, teach us to pray. That is how he started, thy kingdom come. That means priority. We should prioritize God's kingdom in our prayer. And all these things that others are dying for us, in quotes, will be added to us. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, praise the Lord. The other one I want us, how do we grow in grace? Because I begin to look, okay, we want to grow. This grace must be grown. Then we ask to be pride free. Pride free. I mean, I was trying to keep to my peace because I should have said humility. So that's why I came up, but being pride free. Pastor has been teaching us on Deuteronomy 8. If you look at Deuteronomy 8, chapter 2 and 3, he said, you shall remember the Lord your God that led you all the way through these 40 years in the wilderness to humble and to test you. That's the overriding word there. To humble and to test us. To know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandment or not. So I said that anytime, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know your fathers know, that it might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So my own area of focus is, anytime we pass this humility test, our grace increase. Why did I say so? In James 4, 6, in James 4, he made us know, oh, okay, but he gives more grace. That means, when you say more, God is, I mean, the Bible is interesting. He said, he gives more grace. That means there is a grace level changes. Who does he give more grace to? He makes us know. He says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That means anytime we pass that humility test that is being said in Deuteronomy 8, we will receive more grace. More grace. So every time we pass that humility test, our grace level increases. Because when the humility test, we will need to all pass it. So finally, let's quickly see whether we can finish this. Because we are thinking of how to grow in this grace. The other thing that we saw, or grace, some people can hinder the growth of grace in our life. So we need to be wary of some people. The Bible makes us understand certain people that we need to be wary of so that grace will flow. Psalm 1 says it that, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits on the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. These three kind of people. Don't take the counsel of the ungodly. Why does it lead to flow of grace? If first of all, say, if you identify these people, those who mock God in your life, those who, oh, this God that you are serving, oh, you have been doing this, they begin to mock God. Say, blessed is the man that avoids all these three people. If once you are blessed, you are favored, you are engraced, once you avoid all these people, it's not enough for us to avoid them. Look at what he urges us to do in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. When you treasure divine revelation, that is when God's word becomes a delight to you. You are reading the word. Oh, this is what will happen. So what we're saying here, after verse 2, because the Bible is explaining itself that, okay, avoid these three people or certain people, anyone that defies or that try to ridicule the God in your life, avoid them. Replace them by you what? Delighting yourself in the Lord. Meditating on this word day and night. Then the result is in verse 3. You shall be, or he shall be, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. This tree, you didn't plant yourself, you are planted. You did not. So anything, you are in the right place. You receive God's favor. Whatsoever he does. Marikada. Whatsoever he does. The grace of God makes all the difference. I remember some time ago, when all my daughters, they keep on asking, oh, I want to do this kind of job. How much? Forget it. It's not about what you do, the profession. The Bible has said, whatsoever he does, if you sell water, whatsoever you do, it's not about, I want to be a medical doctor. I want to be a pilot. No. By the time you come to this understanding of God's word, that he said, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Because the thing there is the grace of God. Once you have planted yourself, once you have let the word of God be your delight, once you he said, because in that verse 2, it began, all the situation, he said, you will bring forth your fruit in a season. Sorry, please, verse 3 again. Your fruit, your leaf will not wither, no matter the economic climate. Amen. No matter, interest rate is going up. No, it's not your concern. It's not your problem. But by his grace, because what we are saying about this, whatsoever he does shall prosper, is because of the grace of God. God, grace rests upon things. It rests upon, so that anything other people are doing, but because you have observed all this, you have delighted yourself in the Lord. You have made the word of Lord your own thing. Because you thirst for God, you always wanting for more. Delight is more than Bible study. When they say delight yourself in the Lord, it's more than I want to do Bible study. You delight yourself that this word, I want to step out of, you begin to meditate on this word. Delight is a thirst, always wanting more. When you store up the word of God in your heart, it's like a yeast in your heart. That is what the word of God do. So that's when they delighten ourselves. No matter where you are, no matter how we, this word of God, it can never fail. It's a word that is tried and tested. It is not meant for us to be checking whether it's going to work or not. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word today. We give you all the grace and glory that you will increase us from grace to grace. That good work that you have ordained for each and every one of us, this morning we receive the grace to walk in it, O Lord. We receive the abundance of your grace, O Lord. Let your grace abound in each and everyone's life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.